Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and the upcoming schedule. Now here's Paul Jay, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Hi, top of the morning, Paul Jay, Chris, and Bob Beeler. Broncos win 28-23 over Colorado State on Saturday night in a game that was or wasn't, depending on how you look at it, as close as the final score.
First of all, I don't know that I've ever seen, Paul Jay, and you've seen more football than I have, but I've never seen two onside kicks recovered in the same game, basically that close together.
Yeah.
Two scores within 12 seconds, which, okay, I've seen that before.
I've seen that, yeah.
Three within a minute 25. I think maybe I've seen that.
Yeah.
But it went from being a 28-3 game in which this game is in total control.
And late in the fourth quarter.
To Boise State. That was 28-3 with about 11 minutes to go.
Yeah.
To Colorado State had a chance to try to run the five lateral play, not through the band, for a winning touchdown at the end of the game, in which they ran one play. The ball got knocked out of bounds, illegal forward pass, time runoff, game over.
Yeah, it was a call. I have seen two onside kicks recovered in the same game, but not
back to back.
Not back to back. I've never seen that. And then I don't think I've ever seen three onside kicks tried in such a short period of time.
Not on the blue field and not against Boise State. Yeah, no. Not before this.
Offense took a little while to get going. It was a defensive struggle. 3 points for Colorado State on their second drive of the game. And then when you look at...
First time Boise State had trailed all year.
Yeah. It may have been first drive of the game now that I look back at it. And then Boise State's offense kind of got rolling. Last drive of the first half, long drive, 10 plays, 75 yards, scored right at the end of the half. And then the third quarter, they really had that thing in control. A couple of long drives in the third quarter, scored again early in the fourth quarter. And it looked a lot like, you know, the offense did against New Mexico.
Yeah, I thought they played with great energy in the second half until they got ahead 28-3. Then I thought, well, they kind of eased up a little bit and kind of relaxed a little bit, started subbing a little bit, and the roof caved in.
Yeah, and you know, you expect to sub. You're up 28-3.
Of course.
And I remarked on the radio as they were going their 17-play drive that, you know, this really doesn't matter that much. They're wasting an awful lot of time. You know, they get the score. It took them nearly 6 minutes to get the score.
So, like, what, 5 minutes left when they score?
They scored with 11 minutes left.
No, the next drive after the 17-yard drive.
After the 17-play drive, they got a second one off the onside kick.
Oh, so the seven. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you.
You know, I'm just thinking of taking a long time.
They did.
Hey, at the end of the day, it's a win.
Yep.
It's a kind of a bizarre win, 28-23. You know, you would have expected a 28-23 game probably to be real close and back and forth, and it was not that kind of game.
What was the point spread before the game?
With the point spread, 28.5.
Yeah, 28. So the 28-3 wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. And the Broncos, though, have been outscored now 69-23 in the fourth quarter. So that's 2-1, basically. It's almost.
And in a couple of those games, they were frosting touchdowns for the other team.
Of course.
Boise State was ahead. You know, I think Louisiana got a touchdown in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, you're looking at, I don't want to say meaningless garbage points, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, they had to sweat a little bit in the second half against Oregon State and against Washington State. And now against Colorado State.
And probably if you have to sweat again this week, it's going to be a little harder. BYU looks like they're starting to play some football. I know Mississippi State and Michigan State are not the upper echelon of their teams, but they are Power 5 teams. And every game other than the Michigan State game, which they won by, I think, two touchdowns, every game at BYU is played. If they lost it, they could have won it. And if they won it, they could have lost it.
That's very true. And short turnaround for Boise State.
Yeah, they've got a shorter turnaround than BYU. BYU fortunate that they played Friday night. They went past midnight as well.
Overtime.
Had to go two overtimes to get their win. I think, fortunately for Boise State, there haven't been too many injuries. I'm sure this week will be tougher just physically to get ready. Probably the coaches will probably feel it more than the players, and that sounds stupid to say. Yeah. But, you know, they get into their routine. They get into their prep. They'll probably feel the crimp a little bit of having less time to get ready for the game.
Yeah. It's 844. We're listening to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, 846. Coach, after the game was kind of, hey, we won. Let's move on.
And let's hear that, because he was pleased. I think sometimes when you have a game that kind of has a crazy ending and you end up prevailing on top, sometimes you just have to smile and take it and go.
You know, that's the one thing. We're going to see the best of every single team we play each and every week. And our guys weathered the storm. We were able to finish out the game. Certainly, we all know there's plenty of things to work on. But you know what? This is college football, and we have a W. And if you watch college football and you see how it plays out each and every week, don't take that for granted. And we're certainly not. We celebrated in there, and we got a quick turnaround, and we'll focus on BYU starting tomorrow.
So, focus on BYU starting tomorrow, which was yesterday, and the press conference has been moved up to today. A lot of stuff happened there. Even in the Fiesta Bowl season, 2007 Fiesta Bowl, Broncos squeaked by San Jose by 3.
Hey, if you're going to go undefeated, you're going to have a game or two. Look at Clemson. They may play in the college football playoff. They should have lost that game to NC State.
No question. The guy needs to make an extra point, basically, to win it, and he misses.
Boy, how about that NC State quarterback, huh?
Yeah. Finley?
Yeah.
Threw two interceptions, but still, they should have won the game.
Coach Harsin talked about what won it. He said the tide turned on that last drive of the second quarter.
Going in at half, you want to put points on the board. We put a touchdown on the board. That changed the entire game, in my opinion, until the end when they made some special teams plays. But, you know, hats off to our defense in the way they were rallying up in the first half, and then certainly we had some challenges in the second half.
And I want to say, Paul Jay, in the first half, in addition to the defense really being on point, limiting Colorado State to 3 points, punting a Sean Whale.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
can expect a 50-yarder every time. Had him on as our pregame guest, and he was talking, and we were talking about how he was better. He said hang time and just watching it. He gets those up in the air. You don't get any returns, and they sail.
He was fired up to play against the All-American kicker, I think, for Colorado State.
And he looked the better kicker.
Oh, much, much, much better.
And then we talked with Coach Harsin also after the game about why the offense got going after that drive at halftime to really look sharp in the third quarter.
Offensive football is just about executing and getting into a rhythm, and that means you have to stay on schedule somewhat where you're converting in first downs or having a chance to and getting 4 or 5 plays back-to-back. That's what we did. And then, you know, showed up from there. But the consistency, you want to have that throughout the entire game. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And again, Colorado State did some things on defense. They challenge us on the defensive side.
And they did. Boise State looked lethargic in the first. Weather had something to do with it. We haven't talked much about that. But it rained in the first half.
Right, and Thomas Spurbeck could have had a touchdown on that first drive. Mm-hmm. Right in his arms in the it was a fourth down play. They went for it. And
perfect call.
I mean, you look at it, and if anybody has a right to drop one, it's him because he hasn't. It's just when you look at it and somebody drops it, it's Spurbeck?
How did he drop that?
Yeah, and that might have changed the game, too. What, you know, a play here or there can change momentum big time. Spurbeck, 72 yards in receiving, so he'll have to wait until next week. He'll need 34 this coming week to be the all-time receiving yards leader.
Yeah.
And then Coach Harsin talked about moving on to BYU.
We kind of just talked about the things we have to correct. Our guys are going to have to watch it on their own. You know, this schedule's crazy.
Yep.
We'll be back in practice on Monday. We're going to go back in pads. And it is what it is. This is what we've been dealt, and we're going to have to deal with it, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to prepare ourselves because we want to win a ball game. So there's no excuses that way. We'll be ready to rock and roll. We're practicing on Monday, and then we'll be preparing to go play an extremely short week, which is uncommon in college football. But we're ready to go do it.
The only advantage Boise State has, they don't have to travel. That's it. They got that short turnaround, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fine performance by Jeremy McNichols. Saved the day.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Says 8:51. Well, the Broncos move up to number 14 in both polls. Houston number 11 in both polls. Boy, they struggled against Tulsa.
What, did they win by a half yard?
Yeah, about a half yard. And yeah. Then Western Michigan, the other Broncos, are 20th.
Yeah, Navy also slips in there at the bottom, 24-25. Again, we mentioned Jeremy McNichols, school record 40 carries, career best 217 yards, besting the 208 he had against Oregon State. He's suddenly starting to look a lot more like Jay Ajayi, who, by the way, had 200 yards and two touchdowns for the Dolphins.
Yeah, so 204, congratulations to Jay. 62-yard run.
Doing some research for the game, thinking we're -3 on the turnovers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Went back and went to every stat website of the other 10 undefeated teams. Boise State is the only unbeaten team that's negative on turnovers. Clemson and West Virginia are even. And, of course, Clemson was, what, -4 in their game against NC State on
Ungodly
Saturday.
Ungodly lucky.
Now, Clemson has 16 turnovers. They've also taken it away 16 times. Boise State on the giveaways only has 6 all season, which amongst the undefeated teams would put them in the upper 40%.
Sure.
With the number of turnovers. Western Michigan, by far the best, only 1 turnover for them all season. Coach Pete's team is the best, +13 on the turnovers. You'd like to think you're going to need a couple, or if that stat stays negative, it may cost you at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about Thursday's game? Short turnaround, 5 days.
I think it's going to be
quarterback.
I think it's going to be hard fought.
Yep.
I think it's going to be probably lower scoring than people think it might be.
Yep.
I think BYU's maybe their biggest strength is their running back, their running game. I mean, you look at their numbers. They've rushed it for 201 this year. They've thrown it for 204. That's about as balanced as you can get. But I think you're going to have to stop the run. I think Hill and company are better runners than they are passers.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right. Schedule changes, obviously, mightily for the
Thursday
coach's
show
game.
Will not be Thursday night.
No, I'm hoping it won't.
It'll be Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have it right here on 670 KBOI. Review a little bit of this win over Colorado State, but more importantly, look ahead to BYU Thursday night.
Game day coverage on Thursday begins at 3. You'll have the pregame show somewhere around 7, and we'll kick off somewhere after 8.
We didn't have the slide. It kicked off at 8:20, which for the first time when Joe Nickel texted me, there's no slide, I looked at it, had to read it twice to make sure I was right.
Are you kidding? We can just go on time? So it'll be good. One thing about the conference, we got about 30 seconds here. Wow, Air Force didn't look good. San Jose State, they won, but they didn't look very good. It's amazing that some of the teams we thought would be good haven't been that good.
And Air Force lost the game on a neutral site. They'd won 17 straight at home. A lot of people complaining from the Air Force point of view that they sold the home game.
Yeah, why were they in Dallas?
Because they claim they recruit Texas, and they sold the money to promoters in Texas who probably lost a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm thinking they lost a lot of money.
Based on the attendance.
Yeah. All right. Coach's show Wednesday. Thursday at 3 o'clock, we give Nate Shulman another day off. I can't believe we're doing that. 8:56, Idaho Talks Live. Trump saying the fix is in. Still have a ball game hangover, man. That thing was ridiculous.
Well, and then there's another one, 3 days from now?
Yeah.
In other words, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 days away.
All right, breaking news this morning, and you and I both went, what?
Yeah.
This was like, those headlines that used to make up, hundreds unheard as,
Yeah, exactly.
Tree fails to fall on sitting bus.
Plane crashes, not many killed.
Yeah. A man was arrested Saturday in connection with a homemade explosive left outside a police station in Nederland, Colorado. The unidentified man taken into custody as he got off an airplane at Midway Airport in Chicago. A Nederland police officer Tuesday of last week found a backpack outside the station and brought it inside, assuming it had been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they opened it up. Chris, guess what was inside?
A bomb.
Vice was determined to be a legitimate explosive device that was armed but failed to go off. So the people who picked it up still have arms. The bomb squad detonated it early.
I mean, that's completely true. I know it's not exactly what that first sentence meant, but they're lucky.
Yeah. On Thursday of last week, the FBI conducted a vehicle sweep of the Boulder County Sheriff's Office after a person came forward to claim to have information about the bomb.
Yeah.
So he saw something or knew something or whatever, and then they picked up the guy's identity from license plates or whatever and found out he was on an airplane to Chicago and picked him up at Chicago. These are the stories. You know, we never really hear these stories a lot. I shouldn't say never. A lot of times we don't hear these stories because they stop stuff.
Yeah.
The only stories you hear are when they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the bomb went off. And
supposedly, we've heard this from the FBI, the CIA, from Homeland Security over the past several years that they have stopped an awful lot of
hundreds
of terrorist attacks. And perhaps they have, but again, you can't prove a negative.
Yeah, and this one was kind of lucky because, I mean, they found the backpack. Hey, look, a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was indeed a bomb. All right, big story. Boy, a Trump supporter. This is a headline on CNN. Hillary needs to be taken out. Is that like a death threat?
You know, it sounds like one.
Threatens there's violence against Clinton if she is elected president.
There's a sporting goods store,
so,
you know,
yeah,
and they
is.
Specialize in hunting and fishing equipment, stuff like that. And they said they're having a pre-Hillary sale. And the first thing I thought when I saw that headline is, what are they going to sell, you know, you a gun if you want to shoot her? And no, it was a little less, let's put it, illegal than that. They're simply having a sale because they assume if she gets elected that there will be no more guns shortly. Now, 8 years ago, they had the same sale when Obama was elected, and they still have guns. Not as much ammunition, but they still have some. But, again, they're on sale because, you know, they think people should be worried.
Well, and I told you that this morning I saw a story on Florida having its worst orange crop in 100 years.
Right.
Prices of orange juice
and what did you
expected
want?
To skyrocket.
Yeah.
I wanted to go out and buy some orange juice.
Well, and that's human nature.
Those prices are going to go up. There won't be any.
Human nature, if somebody tells you there's something that you can't have, there's very little else that you'll think about that you want.
Yeah, I mean, we got through 8 years. Anybody attack the Second Amendment?
No.
Anything happen there?
I don't think, no matter who's elected in this
can't do that.
Election, I don't think guns are ever going to go away. And part of that is because of our Constitution. First of all, it's in the Constitution.
Right.
But the reason for it is also in the Constitution.
Right.
The reason for it is
against government
if we have a corrupt government and they're trying to you know, get too powerful and take over too much of our lives and we need to legally overthrow the government, there are provisions for doing so in the Constitution.
Yep.
Now, would the commander-in-chief, in order to keep power, set the military on everybody? Perhaps. I don't know how many of them would participate. But, again, that's why everybody is supposed to have arms so they can be the state militia. Now, there are organized state militias. They are the National Guard. But the president can order them if he wants to.
Yeah.
The rest of us, and a lot of people say that a militia should be something that is just instantly formed when necessary.
Yeah.
By regular citizens.
Right.
And if that's the case, then we still have that.
Well, see, Donald Trump is begging for this. He said today, large-scale voter fraud is going on. And there's a Loyola study of several years voting, 31 possible instances out of 1 billion reports. So that's not large-scale voter fraud. And don't call and say, there's more because there probably is.
Not 31 out of a billion. No,
31 out of a billion is not large-scale voter fraud. But he keeps harping on if he loses, it's rigged.
Yeah.
What if he wins? Is it still rigged then, Don?
My guess is no.
Well, that's what he'll say.
But why is that?
Because
if he wins, if he wins, is he going to say, well, it was rigged, but we won anyway. Boy, are we good.
It's the old CYA thing.
Yeah.
Not my fault. We should have won. We didn't because it was crooked.
But do you do that in public in a situation like this?
No.
You know, oh, by the way, in case I lose.
Yeah.
No, you're
it's
not.
It's a fix.
You're never supposed to say that.
Yeah.
Now, Hillary Clinton says, if I am fortunate enough to be elected president.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. She never talks about if I lose.
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, and you know, the problem there is that, of course, you know, Donald Trump still.
An underdog.
Still not, you know, the run-of-the-mill skilled politician when it comes to public speaking. He doesn't say the things that other people say. However, again, that's why a lot of people like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. But his inflammatory talking is what's leading to this guy saying Hillary should be taken out if she's elected president.
But that was an old theory of George Carlin's.
It's not what America's about here.
That was an old theory of George Carlin's as to why Bill Clinton got elected in the first place got reelected in 1996. Because they said, well, he was full of it, but it was pretty much just out there. Now, Bob Dole said, you know, I'm an honest man and I never tell a lie, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, that's probably not true because he's been in the Senate so long. So they thought he was lying to people and that Clinton just said, hey, I'm completely full of, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, at least he's honest.
I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
Right. But I think that's why a lot of people do like Donald Trump is because he doesn't give the same answers as every other politician because he's never been a politician.
But so what do you think about him saying Donald Trump and his surrogates amplified their argument that the election is rigged?
I think it's poor strategy. On the other hand, I'm still hearing from Bernie Sanders supporters who think the Democratic nomination was rigged.
So is that where we are now?
Yeah, that's where we are.
It's not healthy.
Well, I know that.
It's not healthy.
It doesn't seem healthy. But here, this is the biggest election in history as far as knowing all about the candidates and their every move. I mean, there's no mystery here. I mean,
true.
People, that's true. You can believe what you want to believe, depending on the
how much of it is. That's where I was going. How much of it is
you can believe what you want to believe, but everybody has looked into Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump so well, and they've shown clearly that these are two very imperfect people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in past presidential elections, that didn't happen quite as much.
So Trump amplified his argument over the weekend the election is rigged, leaving the Republican nominee more isolated as top members of the GOP, including his own running mate, declared their faith in the political system.
But now he said that part of the rigged, the whole thing being rigged, is that it's the media that has decided that Hillary Clinton should be president. And so they're reporting every story, you know, in favor of her and not in favor of him. And he even pointed to Saturday Night Live, which, by the way, he called old and tired and, you know, should be off the air.
Damn funny, though, Don.
Well, that's what everybody except him apparently thinks, But
they make fun of Hillary, says, too. Make fun of both of them.
Yeah, well, they do. And he said, Alec Baldwin's portrayal of me stinks. The media is rigging the election. And I think there were people who took exception to that because even people who like Trump still like a good parody.
Yeah, which is what it was.
Yeah. It doesn't make Hillary look that smart either.
No, it makes Hillary look
like
pretty
she's,
bad.
Well, like she's just someone who takes advantage of
pompous, smug.
She's an opportunist.
Opportunist, that's a good word. All right, 9:16. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:22. KBOI Rewards Code, RIG, R-I-G. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter RIG, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Can be either a really decked-out pickup truck or the way they run an election.
Who's this they?
RIG. They.
All right, if you know the Paul J. KBOI play of the game, give us a call, 336-3700, 336-3700.
Instant message here. Dave of Boise says, people are not afraid of losing our guns overnight. They are very afraid of a little chip at a time, and every chip is good for them and bad for us. As far as Donald Trump goes, why on earth would he wake up one morning and say to himself, I think I will put my name and my family's name on the line to try to prove to America that there is corruption and crooked politics? I would love to hear what the people for Hillary have to say about that. I remind everybody that he is one of the few people on the planet that has a good idea of what goes on behind the political curtain. Hillary also knows this, and we can all see what her stance is. Who do you want to be running the country? Now, one point in there that I totally agree with is that Trump knows politicians can be bought because he's bought some.
No question. I mean, it's what business people do.
Yeah, and he probably got them on sale, knowing him.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He probably did. We're going to take the we're waiting for a winner on the KBOI play of the game, and we will take that here momentarily.
Quickly here, Bill of Boise wrote in to say, calling the state's current law illogical and bizarre, a federal judge late Sunday ordered the state of Florida to give thousands of voters a chance to make sure their vote-by-mail ballots are counted. U.S. District Judge Mark Walker ruled that county election offices should notify voters if their signature on a vote-by-mail ballot and their voter registration forms don't match. Voters would then be given a chance to fix the problem by 5 p.m. the day before the election. Now, the Florida Democratic Party sued the state because currently voters who don't sign their vote-by-mail ballot are given a chance to fix it, but voters whose signatures don't match aren't told about the problem until after the election is over and their ballot is discarded.
And I have a problem with, the no requirements for identification thing. I have a problem with that. And it was 17 states are under the gun now because they passed registration laws,
right,
which say that you have to have identification with you at the time you vote.
Essentially, what it means is you need to prove you're not an illegal alien before you vote for our next president.
Well, and you need to prove you're Chris Walton.
There we go.
Yeah. Let's go to line five. And Margaret, how are you?
Just fine, and good morning.
Good morning. What was the Paul J. play of the game?
Well, it was when Cedric Wilson recovered that third onside kick at the end of the game there.
All right, let's see if you're correct.
I'm going with Cedric Wilson. I don't know what he did. I don't know why they didn't throw it to him. I don't know why they didn't play. I don't care. He recovered the onside kick.
All right, that's
all right,
it.
Well,
you have won, Margaret. Do you
thank
have our information?
You.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've won a $50 gift certificate from Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Enjoy your meal.
We will. Thank
all
you
right.
so
Thanks.
much.
Thanks, Margaret. All right, Margaret's our winner of the KBOI play of the game.
I know we got to get to commercials here, but how often has a guy been held out virtually the entire game and still made the play of the game?
Good hands, team. Thank God. 9:26.
They took a sacred oath to defend our nation and our Constitution from all enemies. They wore the uniform in our defense. Many came home wounded. Some made the ultimate sacrifice. All were willing to. As Americans, we have made a promise to these men and women, our veterans. And Senator Mike Crapo is keeping that promise.
My name is Dan Pugmire. I'm from Caldwell, Idaho, and I've served in the United States Air Force. Mike Crapo loves his veterans, and he steps out of his box to help us. Way out of his box, because he had to help me. I was not getting anywhere with the healthcare system. I was struggling. I was getting no help and no relief. Senator Mike Crapo, he stepped up and helped me. Within 7 days, Mike Crapo had my surgery done for me. Thank you, Mike Crapo. Thank you very much.
Fighting for our veterans, working for change. Mike Crapo for U.S. Senate.
I'm Mike Crapo, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Mike Crapo for U.S. Senate.
All right. Let me tell you something
it's
here, Chris.
It's that time of year.
Yes, it is.
When
it
there's
is.
Dirt on your carpet.
Halloween is coming up. Don't let your carpet and couch scare you anymore. Are you afraid to sit on your couch because you don't know what's living in it?
A little bit.
Huh? Well, if you are, give Zero Res a call. Yeah. They will take care of all those worries, all those germs. And we don't talk much about the germs and things that are in your carpet and furniture.
Well, part of that is because we've been having Zero Res come to our houses for quite some time now.
That's right.
And I think we feel like we don't have that many germs in our carpet.
I think that's exactly right. Some germs die within a few minutes. Some live on for a long time. Your dog's fleas, they'll hang around a little bit. You don't want that. Call Zero Res today. They will straighten out all of the problems with your carpet and furniture and everything else in your home.
No toxic chemicals will be used. They use what's called empowered water, and Paul J. likes it so much, they bought some to use themselves.
Yeah, we did. Check it out, ZeroResBoise.com, or call them at 383-1000. All right, we are back, 9:37. The election is absolutely being rigged by the dishonest and distorted media pushing crooked Hillary, but also at many polling places, sad. Those are the words of Donald Trump.
Yeah. The only thing that she has, I think she has an advantage over the last several months because she has so rarely actually appeared in public and said much of anything, especially compared to Trump, you know, who just says new stuff every single day.
And gets more coverage from the news media than Hillary about 10 to 1.
Absolutely. However, a lot of it negative.
True.
But it's been said there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Trump's own vice presidential nominee, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, disagreed on NBC's Meet the Press, saying he will accept the Election Day results. Well, on the first, was it the first debate? Trump said he'd accept them, too, way back then. Now, apparently, he's changed his mind. We will absolutely accept the result of the election, he said. The American people will speak in an election that will culminate on November the 8th. But the American people are The American people are tired of the obvious bias in the national media. That's where the sense of a rigged election goes here, Chuck.
Some are tired of it. Some are tired of it. Some agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't tend to notice bias when it's on their side.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, we'll take Trump, and you can say the same about Hillary. I'm
right.
Not jumping on anybody's side. But if you agree with Trump, you're cool. If you don't agree with Trump, you're part of the liberal, left-leaning media bias.
And according,
you can't have it.
And
like
you know,
that.
Hillary was the one who came up with the phrase "vast right-wing conspiracy."
Yeah.
And so, if you don't agree with her, then you must be part of that.
Rudy Giuliani,
a friend of mine, thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And when we first had email, his first email address, I think, was VRWC for "vast right-wing conspiracy."
Yeah.
At somethingorother.com.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani claimed yesterday Democrats could steal a close election by having dead people vote in inner cities. Okay. Now, Hillary Clinton could come out and say...
Do they have to show ID?
Yeah. Hillary Clinton could come out and say Republicans could steal a close election by having dead people vote in inner cities.
Yeah.
Here's
my birth certificate. Well, you also have a death certificate. So, see, there's a problem here.
But Giuliani has an answer for that. I'm sorry. Dead people generally vote for Democrats.
Interesting.
He said that to Jake Tapper at State of the Union. I'll be so glad when this election's over. You want me to say that I think the election in Philadelphia and Chicago is going to be fair? I'd have to be a moron to say that. No, you're a moron to say what you're saying.
Why do I feel like, you know, a lot of people are saying, boy, I'll be glad when this election is over. I can't wait till the election's all done. I think that's going to start a whole brand new storm.
No matter what happens.
And I think you know what kind of storm I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, will that storm be better or worse? Okay, let's just say if Hillary wins, will that storm be better or worse?
Worse.
And if Trump wins, the storm will subside, will be lesser?
No, it'll still be a storm. It'll just be from the other side. But
bigger storm if Hillary wins.
I think so. It's because this would be the third consecutive Democrat administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for 8 years of counting sure. Two elections for Obama and then one for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And you know, anytime like even during George H.W. Bush, the older George Bush's administration, it was the third consecutive.
Two and out.
It was the third consecutive Republican.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they just said, okay, we're not going to go 16 years with just one party in charge.
Yeah, that's true.
Although they rarely do, because generally 2 years after a Republican is elected, for some reason, Democrats get more votes in the Senate and the House. And the same thing goes when a Democrat is elected 2 years later, Republicans get more votes in the Senate and the House.
All right.
Whatever the president's doing, it always seems like the other thing is more sensible.
All right. The intensity, we talked about this off the air this morning.
Yeah.
The intensity surrounding the election is building in the final weeks. Trump, with no evidence, blamed the firebombing of a North Carolina local GOP office on supporters of Hillary Clinton. Here's what he said. Animals representing Hillary Clinton and Democrats in North Carolina just firebombed our office in Orange County because we're winning. Trump tweeted that on Sunday night. Now, what did I say? I said,
you said it very well could have been somebody trying to set up the Democrats to look bad.
Yeah. So the Republicans could have done that so Trump could say this.
Yeah, like a false flag attack.
Exactly. Exactly. Or they could not. I'm not saying they did. Mm-hmm. I don't think they did. I have no idea who did it. I also have no proof of who did it. But there is a lot of interplay here.
Yeah.
Where you could try to make the Democrats look bad if you're a Republican right. by doing this yourself.
Boise Rabble Rouser.
Or not.
Yeah, Boise Rabble Rouser says, how many women have come forward to accuse Trump of sexual misconduct and crimes? 9 or 10? It's actually 12.
Yeah.
Although his actions don't approach Bill Cosby's alleged rapes, the same slow roll out of lower-level sex crimes accusers is killing Trump's chances. Thanks to these courageous women, the country is being well-served. So Boise Rabble Rouser, probably not a Trump fan.
And Trump continues to say the wrong thing. These stories are 100% false, all made up by women.
Yeah.
Now, why would you put the all made up by women in there?
Even the ones, you know, that are on tape? I'm just curious about that. But
I guess.
I was going to say one more thing.
Sure.
Somebody had a joke the other night. They said that Bill Cosby was going to sue Donald Trump for copyright infringement. I thought it was funny.
It is funny. All right, we'll be back with a couple of phone calls. It's 9:44. It's 9:48.
Yeah, the dog wasn't the one with the gun, by the way.
I knew you were going to say that.
In case that wasn't clear.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Mark of Boise. Mark, good morning.
Hey, guys. God, I thought you weren't going to take any calls this morning.
Well, we almost didn't.
You know, again, I hate to say it, guys, on the half hour, our local news guy there for your station, not you, not Nate Shulman's show, but again, takes and talks about Trump and derives the information from the alphabet networks like ABC, nothing anti-Hillary here. Now, you know, let's talk about voter fraud. I have sent you and emailed both you guys from respectable agencies, news agencies, on voter fraud. You got to go to October 7th of this year, an article by Jim Hoft on the Gateway Pundit, and it shows a picture of this. This is Fox Business Network showing, and you can click on the video. It says, breaking news, ICE endorses Trump. Well, if you remember during the last debate, Trump had said that he got the endorsement from ICE officials. It talks about why they are not deporting the illegals like they want to. It's because they want to give the illegals the ability to vote here. You could see the whole story. Then you can click further on the story down below about why Obama released 19,000 criminal illegals to the streets of America. Now, we've heard that earlier in the year about that going on. The Federalist, an article by John Gibbs, dated October 13th, about voter fraud and how bad it is. Let me ask you something, guys. What would you call it when a governor named Jerry Brown in California gave illegals the ability to get driver's licenses? And I believe they did this in Oregon, too, recently, this year. This year it happened. What does that allow you to do? It allows you to go to vote. Now, isn't that another form of voter fraud that's being basically given to the illegals?
It's kind of strange. It's kind of strange to think that if somebody is an illegal alien and they have a legal ID.
Well, have we heard these stories of federal judges that have been shopped to put down states that have said they want voter ID laws enacted and they want to have the voter ID laws in their states, and they have a federal judge come up and overturn the state's rights to be able to have a voter ID?
Yeah, what 17
is wrong with that?
States.
I mean, that is obviously fraud, you guys. I mean, California is the greatest example of what Jerry Brown did by giving illegals the right to vote by giving them licenses. That's voter fraud right there. It's right blatant. You don't even have to shop the articles. You can see it's right there in our faces. This is going on across the country. It is fraudulent. Our whole election system, it has been rigged, and it's gotten worse this year. We're going to see a bunch of socialists have already taken over the Justice Department, the White House, I mean Homeland Security. This country, I hate to say it, folks, is going down, and news networks, or I should say talk radio shows like this, or Savage Nation, and people, you need to see what good old Hillary did through the WikiLeaks with the Savage Nation. He's complained about why he's not allowed in England. She's behind us. It came out on the WikiLeaks. These shows are going to get cut off the air. Maybe that's why Obama soloed our internet over to international sources, so we can have these stations, like whether it be Rush Limbaugh, Savage, or even talk radio shows like this, which I would miss, I'm sure a lot of us would miss, get taken off the air because of somebody corrupt like her getting into power and just basically burning last vestiges of any freedom we have. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mark.
April of Boise, he says, on a similar note.
They said on the ICE thing is supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Government agencies can't support political candidates.
Yeah, well, not legally. Yeah. April of Boise, and not officially. April of Boise says new legislation is being pushed that would give illegal aliens the right to vote in New York City's 2017 elections for mayor, comptroller, public advocate, borough president, and city council, the Post has learned. The proposal, which is winning support from the city's black and Hispanic activists, was recently discussed at a black and Latino legislative caucus event in Albany. We want to expand the right to vote for everybody, not suppress the vote. What a radical idea, said Bertha Lewis. And it goes on. This is kind of an article. But again, there is just saying that if you so much as are in the United States, feel free to vote.
Yeah. Not a fan.
But as the Republicans point out, the poorer someone is,
or the less advantaged
they are, the more likely they are to actually vote Democrat in this day and age.
Yep. All right. Hank, go ahead.
Okay. In Indiana, you've got 53 counties out of 92 counties in Indiana that you're having voter fraud investigations and early registration. In other words, it's going on right now. That's an item out of the Palladium Item, which is an Indiana paper. There are, of course, the headline saying that the probe hadn't reached Wayne County in Indiana. So the voter fraud is the Democrat Party has a long history going back from recent times all the way back for voter fraud. That's a modus vivendi of this party, whether it's Pendergast in Kansas City, Kelly Nash machine in Chicago, the Daily machine in Chicago, or you can Hague in New Jersey City. And in this last election, the voter intimidation and fraud that went on in Philadelphia and Detroit in the last election, 2012. And one more pass on before I go off the air. The mainstream media will make stories up. These things about Trump and the women. There was one witness that said that the incident on the plane did not happen. That came forward. And the stories they put out about Romney tying his dog down on the roof of his car, or stories about Romney being a schoolboy were obviously false, but the news media hammered those points in October. The mainstream media is no longer, I consider, biased. It's inseparable from the Democrat Party.
I'd like to think you weren't right. Thank you, Hank. And people talk about, have we ever had any pressure on us to say anything about anybody on any side?
No.
And I've been in the media for 50 years, and I don't know anybody
who was ever approached. I have never had a boss once that has told me what my opinion had to be.
No, or how to write a story or who to write it, ever, ever. 50 years, never. They don't believe me. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. More of this craziness tomorrow right here on Newstalk 670 KBOI.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
There's a place in the world now labeled the Superpowers Playground. It's somewhere you might not think of, off the beaten path and hard to pronounce. The country of Djibouti in Africa. Once a French colony, Djibouti achieved independence in 1977. It's strategically located near the world's busiest shipping lanes, controlling access to the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. It serves as a key refueling and shipping center in and out of the Middle East and Africa. There's also an awful lot of military activity in Djibouti. There are troops there from the United States, France, Japan, Spain, and Germany. The Saudis, Indians, and Russians are also interested in getting in on the action. But there is a new, very interesting player setting up shop in Djibouti, China. China is building its first military base overseas in Djibouti with a few thousand troops. This is tangible proof that the Chinese military is looking to push out and expand their influence directly across the globe. Question is Washington paying attention? Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.